passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. Here on Ohm Times, we're changing the world one ohm at a time. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, I'll give you a quick rundown here on the Dr. Kevin Show. We highlight and specialize one guest a week, 3 weeks a month, and then once a month, Matt Connerton and I from Matt Connerton Unleashed put the world through a spiritual lens and see what kind of perspectives we can help you acquire of some of the chaos that's going on known as the daily world. In just a moment, I'll be moving to my hot topic. In that hot topic, it's either something that gets me hot under the collar or makes me feel warm and fuzzy. Before I say that, however, do remember we are a live call-in show. You can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. When you come to My Dr. Kevin, please make sure you like it. I'm a likable guy. If you're not sure, just ask me. I'll tell you. I'm a likable guy. So after you've liked me, you'll go to the top of my posting, and there will be a picture of tonight's lovely guest, how to get in contact with her, and more about who she is and what she is doing in the world today. So before I get there, though, we're going to start with the hot topic, and then we'll bring in Carrie Keller. Kelly, I want to pronounce it Kari. I don't know why. It's K-A-R-I. But I'll be bringing her in just a moment. First, we're going to do the hot topic. So today's something that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. We are coming up against the anniversary of the Women's March, when women all over the country wanted to make sure their voices were heard. Probably we have not seen such a collaboration of women coming together, fighting for their voice. Some would say since the 70s and the feminist movement, but I really think that it goes all the way back to the suffragettes when women were fighting for the right to vote, to be treated like full citizens of the U.S. And, you know, that was over 100 years ago that all started. And 100 years later, they're still fighting. They're still fighting for equal pay. They're still fighting for equal representation. And they're still fighting to not be treated as sexualized objects that are free to be catcalled, grabbed, fondled, or treated whatever, like however you would treat your least favorite object in many cases. And there is still a lot of men in the world that doesn't see that there's anything wrong with that. Well, the Women's March has yet again united the women to come out. And this time it had an impressive, a very impressive afterwake, which is there are more women running for office from last year into this year. They are at least 79 women are exploring runs for governors. The number of Democratic women likely challenging incumbent in the U.S. House of Representatives is up nearly 350% from the 41 women in 2016. Roughly 900 women contacted Emily's List, which recruits and trains pro-choice Democratic women. And more than 26,000 women have reached out about launching a campaign. I just think that this is fabulous. I couldn't be more excited that we're going to see more women standing up, speaking out, getting elected, making their voices heard. It's time. It is past time, actually, when we have are having our world run by old white men. Old white men, And pretty soon, WASPs are no longer going to be in the majority. Some people might refer to me as an old white man. They wouldn't live to take their next breath, but they could do it anyways. No. I would never advocate violence. I would pay somebody for that. No, just kidding. So now I'm going to introduce today's guest, see what she thinks about my hot topic and what she would like to add to what I've already said. I have Carrie Kelly. Carrie Kelly is a writer, speaker, and vocalist, deeply passionate about sharing her voice of courage and inspiration. Go inspiration. She has been featured on a wide variety of stages, panels, radios, and TV shows across the United States. If she was here on the East Coast, and if she ever gets a little north of Boston, I would love to have her on my TV show. Carrie is the author of Black, Blind, and Female, the creator, producer, and performer of her one-woman shows, Somebody Else's Child, Voices of Resilience, and Three Chairs. My New England accent is showing up. And a contributing author to the best-selling ebook Village Pearls, Spiritual Practice to Uplift Your Soul, and the number one Amazon best-selling book Heal Thyself. Carrie has entertained VIPs at sold-out networking events all around North Carolina. You can ask Carrie questions or me. You can have conversations. All you have to do is dial 202-570-7057. Carrie, are you there?
I am here. Yes, I am. And I think the state was Northern California, not Carolina.
Did I say Carolina? I'm sorry. At sold out around Northern California. I guess I need to get my eyes checked. Sorry about that. Hey, maybe it's a message from Spirit. Maybe you're supposed to put out some events in North Carolina. Just check into it.
I'm ready whenever they are. I'm ready when they are.
Well, I've got listeners in North Carolina. I've got a little following down there. So guys in North Carolina, she'd love to come out and visit you, make it happen. So Carrie, what do you think about this energy with the Women's March and all these women getting into politics? Share your thoughts.
I love the fact that women are getting into politics. I am so excited about that. I am so impressed by the galvanizing force that has caused this whole thing to happen. I mean, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it now? And, it goes without saying, but I'm so excited about it. So I can't wait to see the results of what it looks like to have more women in the houses of power that make decisions that affect everyday lives.
Would you ever think about running for an office?
Probably not. I don't think that I could be I don't believe that I'm diplomatic enough. I like to be real straight up and, tell it like it is, and there's just certain compromises that I'm no longer willing to make in my old age. So I don't know if I'd make a good politician. I don't think I would.
I think the problem is we have too many politicians. I think we don't have enough plain speakers who say what they mean what they say, and whose actions and words line up and are in congruity. I think that America has probably almost died at the hands of politicians.
Well, okay, but then I think that it's not just that. I think it's the system of the system that politics has to operate in. People get elected to be the voice of the people that elected them. And so when you have people that have different voices that are never going to have the same message and that are never going to meet in the middle and not compromise, the political system isn't the problem. The politics isn't the problem. It's the system that's the problem to me.
Oh, the system is broken. But how do we fix the system unless we get some people in there that will be plain spoken, make sense, and and move people off the fact that the majority of America thinks, well, of course they're lying. They're a politician. You expect it. Isn't that a sad statement? But that's what the majority of Americans think now, and with good reason.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. But the fact that the people that we have to listen to, you know, who are the people that are getting all the airtime? Who are the people that are getting all the talking points? And they are also the people that can hold up the show. Like, for example, we're dealing with this immigration crisis right now. There are folks on both ends of the spectrum that can't get in the middle because they're very stuck in their way. But as they're stuck in their way, the problem doesn't get handled. It's not getting handled, and it's getting worse and worse for people day after day, day after day. And the political system is broken, but that's not fixing the people that are ending up leaving here and leaving their families and, you know, their lives and all of this stuff, while people in the politicians are fighting, basically. Everybody's fighting, but the problem's not getting fixed.
So now,
like, if
we've
I was
got
a politician, I would be saying, stop fighting and go fix it. You know, go fix it.
Yeah. Well, and I know saying fix it is a lot easier than fixing it. And I've had this conversation many times with many different guests, but I think we can't let the conversation die. I think we have to keep the conversation going, that it needs to be fixed and the system is broken, and we can't keep on reelecting the broken system. We've got to get enough new voices in. And there's our time. There's our first break. We'll be right back with Kari Kelly and find out what change she's making in the world.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. And today, our challenging partner is Kari Kelly. Kari is a writer, speaker, and vocalist deeply passionate about sharing her courage, her voice of courage and inspiration. You can find out more about her on facebook.com/voicesofresilience/. You can call in and join the show at 202-570-7057. And you can come to facebook.com My Dr. Kevin, MyDrKevin. Give me a little like, and right at the top, you will see the information about Carrie Kelly and how to get in touch with her. Carrie, the rest of the show is now all about you.
All right. I like all
so,
about
where would you like to take my listeners outside the box? Anywhere, about anything in the world, where would you like to stretch their realities, stretch their comfort zones?
I think I would like to take them on a journey to recognize their own power, their power of connection to the truth and truth, absolute truth, like the life force that makes the sun shine and the trees grow and the rain fall is the same life force that is within each human being, each living creature. And that life force can be communicated with. And so if you can connect to it and communicate with it, you can partner up with it, and it will assist you in the things that you need to have done.
So where do you think people most easily give up their power and why?
Okay, well, I'll speak for myself, and where I gave up my power was when I lost sense of myself growing up being abused. Once I lost that connection, I wasn't able to recognize the information that shows up as like what we call intuition, you know, because every trusted source outside of me was saying, oh, these are wonderful people. This is great. You're going to have a new family. But while I was being abused, my body and everything within me was saying, this is a horrible situation. This is not right at all. What's wrong with this? But since I'm young and I don't have, you know, words and skill to communicate, I have to figure out who's really right. And once I had to second guess what was going on inside of me, it continued through my whole life. So every time those voices within were telling me to go left, I had to second guess and go, what if that's not right? What if I should be going right? What if? So that's one way that we lose our power, to recognize what's true, because what's within us always know what's best for us, and it never steers us wrong and never takes us in harm's way.
Now, you said that, you know, that because of your abuse in your childhood, that it made you second guess how you functioned in the world.
Yeah.
Tell my audience a little bit, how did you come from doubting Carrie to intuitive scourge? Share that journey a little bit with us.
Basically, what happened was I just had to recognize my own worth and my own value, and it had to come from inside me, because society would have me believe that as a Black, eyesight-challenged woman, that my value would be less than. And it wasn't until I decided that that wasn't true and that I do have value and that I do have worth that I was able to reconnect to my inner source and the inner guidance that was always fighting with those ideas about how worthless I was. There was this piece of me that always knew that I had value and I had worth, But I would fight with it. And then when I finally started trusting it and listening to it and recognizing my worth and my value, my life shifted a lot.
So as you started to discard the false voices, the experiences that were incongruent with your inner knowing, did you find teachers? Did you read books? I know that you're sight challenged, but you can, I don't know exactly to the extent of your sight challenge, so I'm going to say read books or listen to books on tape, whatever. Was there a moment when you experienced something, saw something, and it really was that boom?
It didn't happen quite like that, but the first thing that made me recognize there was something deeper going on was when I went to Sedona, Arizona, with a friend of mine who was terminally ill. And when I went there, it's supposed to be very spiritually grounding, and there's just all this energy that I did not understand while I was there. But I did have a very specific event that opened me up to looking more at that energy, that type of energy, and where that kind of information comes from. So, yes, I got a teacher. I read everything I could get my hands on. I started dealing with spiritual teachers and different mindsets around intuition and everything. And then I've been in so many different religions, I could probably write more and more books about just my experiences with that. But so what was going on for me at the trip, during the trip, was why was my friend terminally ill and I was perfectly healthy, but I was worthless, and she had so much more to give to life than I did, and why was God taking her off the planet and leaving me here? And during that trip was where I heard that once I can forgive, I needed to forgive some people, and I needed to forgive myself and let go of a lot of things that no longer served me. So as I began to let go, I seemed to feel like I was making room for new, making room for something new to enter. And I mean, I started small with trusting my intuition. Like I would ask, you know, which dress should I wear, the red one or the blue one? And whichever showed up in my intuition, I wore that. And that started the relationship. And then when it came to bigger decisions, you know, take this job, don't take this job. Go to this workshop, don't go to this workshop, or, you know, like that. And it just began to grow. And now it's so much a part of me that I don't believe how I've lived so long without it, you know, without being so connected to it.
Did your journey of discovery, did your friend pass on?
Yeah, she did. We went in April. She was gone in September. She left on September 11th, 2010.
So, she completed some kind of soul contract with you to get you from where you were stuck and onto your journey.
Oh, yeah, I totally believe that. I totally believe that there was some kind of soul contract between us because of there was a physical manifestation of Okay, this is gonna here's the part that's really gonna take your listeners out of the box. I had this tingling sensation that showed up to the minute, or even like maybe even the second that she passed over. It wasn't there before, but it was there after, and I got it. I understood it, and it didn't take me long to figure out that there was some kind of connection that I didn't understand, but I needed to explore. So, you know, that's also the piece that made me keep going. Like, I just kept going to find out, you know, what does this all mean, and how am I supposed to handle this responsibility, and how do I incorporate this information? And it's been a journey, and I'm still on it.
And you know, I've been on my spiritual journey, well, actually since the 60s. And I'm going to tell you, you never run out of journey.
Oh, okay.
The journey is a lifetime quest for becoming all that you're here to be and touching the world in all the ways that you were created to touch it. So just as soon as you get something down, something else sticks itself from around the corner, looks at you, puts its fingers in its ear, sticks its tongue out, and goes, nah, 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 now catch me. Just so you know.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Thank you. Good to know. That explains a lot. Explains a whole lot.
So she provided this opportunity for you. Do you feel that in some way, because you moved on here, made her passing easier for her?
I'm not sure easier is the word. Because on
more peaceful,
level,
maybe?
Peaceful. Peaceful might be the better word, because, like, as much as she wasn't, quote unquote, ready to go, she was willing to go, if that makes any sense. And so, while before I understood what was going on, I was still stuck in the selfish mode of all of this. Like, she's leaving me behind. I won't have her, and my life is horrible now because I don't have her in it. She's not here, and poor me, right? That's all the tears and all the crying and everything that I was dealing with. And once I got past all of that and realized that it was time for her to go, she had no more unfinished business, and it was time for me to get started on, you know, being the contribution that I was here to be. After, you know, when I looked at what kind of contribution she was to me in my life, I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm supposed to do that for other people to the degree that my gifts allow me and my knowledge and wisdom and everything. So, I got it on straight eventually, but it took a while.
You know, and it does, we should be going to break any minute now. Then there is. And we'll be right back with Carrie Kelly.
Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner. And your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. Today we have Carrie Kelly. She's a writer, speaker, and a vocalist deeply passionate about sharing her voice of courage and inspiration. She has been featured on a wide variety of stages, panels, radios, and TV shows across the United States. She has also entertained VIPs at sold-out networking events all around Northern California, but is open to doing the same thing in North Carolina. To all my North Carolina listeners, come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You can see how to contact Carrie. She has a one-woman show, Somebody Else's Child, Voices of Resilience, and another one called Three Chairs. She's got some books. She's got a ton of stuff out there. So, Carrie, so we've moved past the fact that you're fabulous. We all know it. Are you ready for the next part? Are you ready for the quiz?
Yes, I am.
Okay, if you've been listening to my show, this should be an easy one for you. So, tell me, what movie did we hear the line, "Ignore the man behind the curtain"? Carrie.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, Carrie. The gods of tech. The gods of tech were not kind to us for a moment. I don't know what happened. So, what was the name of the movie?
The Wizard of Oz.
Yay! And that said, because you have to look behind the curtain to see the truth. You just can't believe all of the big show and sparkle. So, where would you like to take my listeners behind the curtain and expose them to a truth that you don't think that they have been, that they know?
Well, how about the truth about the pharmaceutical industry?
Go for it. What truth would you like to expose?
I believe that our bodies have natural healing abilities, that if we could partner with the nature's medicine, we would not need most of what the pharmaceutical industry has to offer. So that's my thing. I like herbal medicine, things that come from nature, spending time in nature. And I think that does a lot, that goes a long way to boost the natural healing elements that we have already in ourselves without what comes from the man-made industry that would like to have us believe that certain things that are natural need a pill or a potion or a prescription to have it fixed. Now, I'm not saying that about the whole entire industry. I'm just talking about the parts that make up some itis or osis or syndrome so that they can find a medication for you to take. And that's my story.
Well, I think, well, you know, the majority of pharmaceuticals, the large majority of pharmaceuticals, you know, were discoveries made from things found naturally and in nature, and they took the properties of those and then they chemically altered them simply be so that they could patent them, so that they could make money off of them, so they could keep control over them. And in taking out something like the natural analgesic qualities of something like a white willow bark and making it into aspirin, they created a chemical which made it inorganic. And so part of the problem is every time we take a pharmaceutical, our body does not register it as food. It registers it as an inorganic substance, which is why there's no such thing as a pharmaceutical that can't cause side effects. Now, can you cause side effects by eating too much of something in nature? Absolutely. You can overdose on apples and get a stomach ache, or you can eat too much of something that might have a healing property in a small portion and could be deadly in a large one. But with pharmaceuticals, it's a guaranteed. It's a guarantee that your body is going to have some reaction to it because it doesn't recognize as something that's supposed to be there. I take it you're not a person who, do you take any kind of medications?
I take one, but that's my limit. And I've, you know, set everything up and I let my family know if I ever get anything else, we're going to have to look for natural remedies or I'm out of here.
Well, and you know, the thing is if we can look at naturals first, if we can look at something that we could eat, if we said, okay, this, an increase of this in the body is going to help it, so eat more of it or find a supplement that is just a concentrated version of it. I mean, supplements aren't any more than just eating food in concentrated forms. So
right.
You're just getting a concentrated, mm-hmm. you know, instead of, I mean, who wants to go out and eat a whole bale of hay? Doesn't mean that hay doesn't have some
right.
healing properties. And in an intense enough form, it could be there. When you were growing up, now, I wanted to get a clarification because you talked a lot about abuse, about your abuse in your childhood when you were growing up. Were you part of the foster care system or were these your, or was this your family of birth?
Okay, well, I had two different adoption, and between the two, I was in foster care. So my first adoption happened when I was 9 months old, and I was shaken, and while I was being shaken, my head got smacked really hard. And fluid began to build up on my brain, but I didn't have medical attention for 10 days. So once I got to the hospital, they removed me from that family and stopped that adoption from happening. And I went back into foster care until I was 4 years old. And then I got adopted into a new family, and I was abused in that family. There were teenagers living in the house. There were, my mother was very cruel, and, my father, basically didn't want much to do with me until my mother passed away. I was 13 when my mother passed away.
and he would just as soon leave me on someone else's doorstep, but it didn't quite work out that way. But that's how everything, that's what my work is now, like being able to overcome all of that and be resilient and share my voice with other adult survivors and let people know you can get through this and you can do it without turning to what statistics would have you believe is normal. So that's what happened there.
So when did you learn that normal was just a setting on the washing machine and had nothing to do with real people? Do you remember when that boom, that reality hit you?
There was always a little piece of a voice or little situations that were kind of showing me that my entire life. But I think I really feel like the catalyst was my trip to Sedona when I really started to look at the bitterness and anger that I was holding and how it was affecting me. And the release of that was like, for example, I was so angry at being adopted by two different abusive families. I was mad at the system. I was mad at the social workers. I was mad at all of the people that abused me. But none of them were losing any sleep over what had happened to me.
And we'll be right back for our last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on OM Times, where we're changing the world one OM at a time. This is a live call-in show. You can call in at 202-570-7057, or you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, like my page, and at the top of it, you will see today's guest and how to connect her. Today's guest is Carrie Kelly. Carrie is an impassioned speaker, teacher, author, She has one woman shows. She does sold out performances of inspiration and motivation throughout Northern California. We are currently looking to get her booked in North Carolina. So any of you, my connections out there with North Carolina, you know, reach out and find out from Carrie how to get her to your state. Carrie, are you still with us?
I am.
So in this last segment, we call this What a Load of Crap with Dr. Kevin. And this is your opportunity. And you've got about 6 minutes before the music will start playing, more or less, for the close of our last segment. Of what you think is going out in the world that is a load of crap that you would like to comment on, that you would like to clear up, that you would like to give voice to.
Well, you mean besides the government?
No, you can do anything you want. It's up to you. This is your time to share with the audience of the Dr. Kevin Show.
Okay. No,
so
I won't do the
let her rip.
It's basically revisionist history. The load of crap that really burns me is when people say, but America wasn't built on those things, bigotry, and, you know, all of that is, to me, is a load of crap, because if you ask the Native Americans what happened when Columbus got here, and then what happened when they decided not to readily convert to Catholicism. And
Catholicism?
And then, yes, that word. I can never say it. You know, there's just all these things that people think America was created on, but they forget about all the people that were hurt and displaced and mistreated to make America this great country that we live in. And so, like, I think that the minute we start to realize that America has some reckoning, some time to look in the mirror and go, okay, this is how we got here. We've made some mistakes, and let's fix it. Let's clean it up. Let's apologize, and let's do better. I think that we will. It will just make everything better. It will just be a lot better. It'll be a better situation for everybody to just admit that, you know, America is not this bright, shining moral beacon on the hill, and that it has some things to reckon with. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well, you know, they always say history is written by the winners, and we have a deplorable past in many ways. The bringing over of and enslaving of the African tribes, it always amazes me how many African American Christian churches they're in, when all of our early documentations basically referred to Black people as being perceived as by the Christianity of the day as being subhuman and having no souls. They wouldn't bury them in sacred ground because they said they had no souls. And then these individuals, if they saw their great-great-grandchildren up on these things preaching the word of Jesus, I think they're rolling over in their graves.
Uh-huh.
I think they're horrified and the loss of their own heritage. And, you know, the church treated Black individuals as second-class citizens up into the 50s and 60s, at least, if not longer. I mean, it wasn't like it happened just 300 years ago.
Right.
You know, they had their black churches because they weren't allowed in white ones.
Right. Right.
You know, the man who walked with thieves and beggars and you know the lepers and who accepted all people. Boy, he can't be happy with what they've done with his church in so many ways.
Oh yeah. That is so true. That is so true. I totally agree.
The return to a simpler life, people of America are basically saying, I want to return to the day when I could stand on the backs of the others because I was white and male, or even white and female, but I was in middle class or upper middle class, and I could be a racist and I could be a bigot and I could get paid more for doing the same jobs and I could be treated better and not have to work for it, and I could be the meanest son of a be in the valley, but if I was deacon of my church, then I was respected in my community no matter what I did. I miss those days. To me, those are the daydreams of hypocrites and not the voices we should be looking towards the future of America. What do you think of the Black Lives Matter movement?
Well, I think that it's a good start. It's a good start in the right direction. But as long as there's this level of denial in white America that is still willing to support the things, the systems and institutions that will marginalize other people, then it's going to just be this, it's going to have to work a lot hard. It's just going to be a lot of hard work because, like, what I saw with the Lloyd Moore situation with all of those, like, I think it's like over 50% of white women that actually voted for Lloyd Moore, and it because of his ideology or whatever. And the same thing with Donald Trump. There's so many people that have, you know, supported this. And I don't know how Black Lives Matter is going to succeed with that kind of denial.
I don't know how a lot of things are going to succeed with that kind of denial. And there, as we mentioned earlier, there is such a misrepresentation of the population of this country in the government. And it's because our Congress and our White House are owned by lobbyists and corporations and small groups, the majority of who are led by white, old white men that put in the money to make sure that the American public continues to get fooled. Carrie, thank you for being on the show. I hope you enjoyed your visit here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
I did. Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Okay, you too.